Welcome to the April 21st sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and the sermon is entitled, Continue to Trust Jesus, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Grab your Bibles and open up to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3, as we begin our study of the last chapter of 2 Peter, and I'm grateful for this. 2 Peter chapter number 2 allowed us to study and be warned of the false teaching that Peter wrote about. And so now chapter 3, it opens up speaking about the promise of the return of Christ and the hope that we have in that. I'm grateful today that as we understand that we need to be reminded every now and then just to continue to trust the Lord. If you get wrapped up in the circumstances, faith goes beyond circumstances. Amen, church? So when you're thinking about your circumstances, it's easy to say, I have it so bad. But you need to be reminded to continue to have faith because God is still good no matter the circumstances that we are in. And so God is greater than those circumstances. God is greater than our own abilities or our own thinking. And so when we understand that, we can get wrapped up in what we are doing or the abilities that we have and thinking that we have it all figured out. If you have it all figured out, here's one thing I want to say. God bless you, because I don't, okay? And I don't think we ever will. We never will. But as we try to work and we try to live and we try to raise our families, and we must remember this. It is not in our strength. It is the strength that we get as we have that faith and that relationship in Jesus Christ. And so today, this sermon is simply entitled this, Continue to Trust Christ. And maybe today, whether you're here and every Sunday we have our group that joins us on live stream, whether you're here in the room or you're watching live stream, maybe you need to be reminded, I just need to continue to trust the Lord in these circumstances. And so we're thankful today that we come. The first chapter of 2 Peter reminded us to take care of ourselves, to make our calling and election sure. Do you remember that sermon? It's been quite a while ago. And we were reminded that in that, we need to make sure that we know the Lord and Savior. The second chapter was a warning about false teachers. And we talked about 4 different weeks about the warning of false teaching that was creeping in, not only to the first century church, but our church today. And now we come to the third chapter. And that third chapter from the good word of God is simply this from Peter. And that reminder is this, you must continue to trust Him. Though you've been through the fiery trial, and though you have been persecuted, and though you have been threatened, and though some of you have been killed, you can continue to trust in the Lord to lead you in the days ahead, so much so that you can trust the Word of God that He will return. Amen? Sometimes we get caught up in thinking that, oh, that's not going to happen in our lifetime. The first century church was sure that it was going to happen in their lifetime. And yet Peter was still reminding them, you need to trust, you need to trust, and you need to trust. And here we are hundreds of years later, and he still hasn't come back. Beware of the person that tells you Jesus is coming back on a certain time frame, okay? Don't listen to that teaching because that's false teaching. Nobody knows, the Bible says. But here's what I want you to know. We are closer today than we've ever been to the Lord coming back. And today, church, don't get caught up in what's going on in the world. Continue to trust the Lord and be faithful to Him. With that said, that kind of opens up the beginning of 2 Peter chapter number 3. And I want you to look at the first 2 verses as we begin this morning. This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Today, point number 1, you need to continue to trust Jesus because the Word of God says He is coming. He is coming. I started out talking about our circumstances and how we often get trapped in those. And we get caught up in the mundane of the day in and day out, of the 9 to 5, of the Monday through Friday. And we just go through the motions of doing life. And here's what we must be reminded of, believers. Jesus promised that he is going to return one day. And so as we think about that, no matter the circumstances or the hardships that these first century believers were going through, Peter was reminding them this: you need to be faithful to God no matter what, because God's word has not changed. And I want to tell you this, church, God's word will not change. So we hold on to these promises. We've talked through this study in the beginning of it, that Peter addressed the believers, and he addresses them in that word, beloved. And as this early church was growing and having hard times and trying to live out their faith, it was not easy. But he is reminding them of Christ's self-sacrificing love for them. And they suffered for their faith. They suffered for the name of Jesus. And they could turn their back on the heels of the false teaching and the warning that is there. Do not turn away. Real quick, look at the end of the second chapter, verse number 21. Remember this warning last week? For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. That was the stern warning that we left with last week. And here's what Peter is doing. And the warning of this: don't turn away from your faith. Don't turn away from what you have heard. Here is the promise that the Lord is faithful. Through his word and through the apostle, God is faithful to teach us his truth. And so that is what he is encouraging the early Christians to cling to. Cling to the word of God. In 2024, if I could get Christians to cling to the word of God, we could change through the Lord's leading. We could change the world. We only want this when we want it, when it's good for us. When we're having a hard time, we'll run to this. And so here is the encouragement, church. Cling to the word of God, because through the apostles, the truth of God was passed down. And I'm grateful for that. Through those who prophesied in the Old Testament, it was passed down. And that word apostle is those that had direct connection. They lived under the teaching of Jesus. That's why I personally believe there is no more apostles in our day. It's because an apostle is somebody that was directly connected to Jesus. And so in knowing that, here's what Peter says. Through the word of God and through the reality and the truth that it offers, you can continue to trust him to lead you in this time. You know that the best way to counter false teaching is the word of God. The best way to counter those that are against Christ is through the word of God. And so we see the warning to be careful, not to be led astray. But on top of that, it's not putting the responsibility directly on the false teachers. It's putting the responsibility back in the Christian's lap and being faithful to the word of God. And so today, if you leave here and you get nothing out of my sermon, I'm going to sum it up in one sentence. You need to read and believe the word of God. When we think about that, we think about Jesus' return. And I don't know how excited that makes you, knowing that Jesus is going to come back. We are told through Scripture to watch for it, to pray for it, to be ready for it. And I want to encourage you to look at Matthew chapter number 24 in some time in your day today. Because in that chapter, it gives a great picture of the Lord's return. But real quickly, I'm not going to preach from there, but here's what Jesus says about his return. The first thing he says is this, that no one knows when it's going to happen, okay? So if you leave here today and say, the preacher said Jesus is coming back today, you're telling a fib. I did not say that. Jesus is coming back. It may be the next second, or it may be 100 years from now. We do not know. But Jesus is coming. The second thing, as you read Matthew chapter number 24, is that you need to know it is unexpected. Jesus says there's going to be two people in the field, and one will be taken and one will be left. There are going to be two women grinding at the mill, and one will be taken and one left. It will be unexpected. Now, that is a scary thought, especially if you're on a plane and that pilot is a believer. That's a scary thought. But that is the truth. That is the truth. In the moment, it is unknown. When the rapture takes place this time, he's going to rapture the church out of here. We don't know what that's going to look like. When Jesus comes back to rule and reign on this earth for the final time, he is going to come to judge this earth once and for all. And so that is the third point that we see, that you must be ready. And so today, I'm not trying to twist your arm. I'm not begging you to come to Jesus. I'm not trying to scare you to Jesus. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The truth of the Bible says this: Jesus is coming back. And the early church needed to hear that, because they were dying for him. And they were dying for him to return. And they needed the encouragement. And Peter steps with his pen and he writes to encourage them to keep the faith. So today, church, I hope and I pray that as we continue to trust Jesus, we can continue to trust him because we have the Word of God. Amen. There's a second part. Look at verses 3 through 7. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So today, the second point is this: we need to continue to trust Jesus when the scoffers say Jesus is not coming. So we know that the word of God reminds us that Jesus is coming. But Peter reminds us there are going to be people that say, what you believe and what you are hearing and what you know is false. And he says that in verse number 3. The last days. A scoffer is someone, by biblical definition, that brings mischief. Do you know anybody like that? Don't name their names, please. These scoffers are the opposite of holy prophets and the apostles. Remember, the prophets and the apostles, Peter says, you can trust them because they know God. They have been with God. They have seen Jesus. You can trust them. But these scoffers, they're very, very different in the fact that they are there to sow mischief and discord. And they don't give urgency or importance to the things that are important, such as Jesus's return. And so without that urgency, here's what the scoffers say: you don't have to worry about that happening. Look at verse number 3. And saying, knowing this verse, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. And so I'm going to break this down a little bit for you. The first thing is these scoffers don't know the truth. And so they are pulling off of what they know, what they have learned on their own, what they know. They are pulling off their own understanding. And they are saying this: God has not done anything new since the beginning of time. God, since creation, he has not done anything new. He has not shown up. Now, how many of you believe that? How many of you have seen the hand of God at work today or in the past in your life? Amen? We know there is a God. But these scoffers said, no, you don't have to worry about that. Jesus is not coming. That's just made up stuff. You don't have to believe that. You turn the right channel on your TV and you will hear those words. But Peter, remember, as he says, I'm here to stir up. I'm here to stir you into remembrance. As he stirs up their minds through the holy word of God, he reminds them that these scoffers are going to be after them And they're going to try to divide them. In verse number 3, he says this: they're going to walk after their own lust. Scoffers, they want to continue in their own ways. They want to continue in their own ideas. They want to continue in their own sin. They don't want to change. And so they're not worried about the Lord's return. Now, wouldn't that'll never happen in our lifetime. That won't happen. And I don't know how many of you have thought that. I used to think that I probably will never see the Lord's return. Then you hit the fast forward 20 years and you're like, okay, this could happen. This could really happen, right? Here's the reality. The next second, you could see the Lord's return. And you're going to see that through what I believe is the rapture. The church is going to be taken out of the world. And all we are waiting on is that horn to blow in that eastern sky, that trumpet to sound. Now, I'm not sitting here looking for it. I'm watching the news. I'm watching what's going on. But I'm not here staring at the eastern sky just saying, okay, God, come on. Diligently, we are working as the body of believers, knowing that Jesus will return. I pray that he will catch us in worship. I pray that he will catch us in ministry. I pray that he will catch us on the mission field as we return. What a way to go. But these scoffers, they say, what you hear, you do not have to believe. Don't believe what these people are teaching. In verse number 4, it says this, in saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That message that the scoffers have is this: nothing major has happened. Nothing has changed. How do you know he's coming? Because nothing has really happened. So what they are doing, they are sowing doubt in the lives of these early believers. And that makes that young Christian start to think, well, maybe what I believe is not true. If there is a responsibility that the scoffers want to take, a responsibility that Satan wants to plant, it is doubt in the heart and the mind of those that believe. And here is the prime target: new believers. To turn away, to walk away, and to just leave what you have been taught, leave what you have come by faith to understand and to know. And so those scoffers sow seeds of doubt, trying to drive a wedge in the people of God and trying to mislead them now and become those false teachers that we're warned about in chapter number 2. And yet there's one more object of these scoffers. Look in verse number 5. It says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God and the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And so that word ignorant is used. Now I want to clarify this. This does not mean they are stupid, because the scoffers are not stupid. These scoffers are overlooking, or they are neglecting, or they are forgetting these things. So it's not to call them stupid or uneducated. But what Peter is saying is this: they are choosing to overlook the truth of God. They are choosing to overlook the truth that they have before them. And so these three truths that they're willing to overlook: that God created the world, the land, and the sea. In verse number 5, he mentions that God created that. And I want you to look at verse number 5 again. It says, by the word of God. How many of you believe that God created everything by speaking it, a word, into creation? Amen? It was not a soup. It was not a bang. It was none of that. It was God speaking it into order. And so when we understand that, the scoffers say, oh, no, 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 that can't happen. The second thing, the second warning is this, is that he destroyed the earth. Look at verse number 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. So these false teachers, these scoffers, are saying God hadn't done anything since the creation. And here's what Peter says: he created the world by the word, and he destroyed that same world that was full of sin. And to say that God hasn't done anything is so untrue. And then there's a third thing: that there will be a day of judgment to come against those who are counted among the ungodly. Verse number 7 says, but the heavens and earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Here is the next way, or another way, that God will work. He has worked through creation. He has worked through destruction. And he will work through judgment of those who are labeled ungodly. Now, I know this morning, this is hard stuff to hear, but I'm grateful to know that in Peter's day, there were scoffers, and in our day, there are people that are scoffers as well that say, that stuff cannot be true, and I will not believe it. In light of what the world is going through, here is Peter's point. These scoffers, they're going to have their day. These false teachers, they're going to have their day. Those that are unbelievers, they will have their day in judgment. And so the call that Peter is pushing through is that every life and every person is important to the child of God. And every life, every one of us need that relationship with Jesus. Every week in the life of our churches, people walk out of churches hearing the truth and then scoffing at it, saying, I can't believe that today. I have plenty of time. I'll do that another day. Let me get it all together and then I'll surrender my life. Jesus asked for none of that. Jesus says, repent and come today. By faith, come and receive him today. And so today, we can shake our finger at the scoffers, but know that in my heart, I'll testify for myself, there were days in my life as the Lord was working on my heart. I just said, not today, God. I cannot do it today. And then he began to break me down. Today, maybe there are some of you in here, and I'm talking to the believers today, that need to hear this. No matter what the scoffers say, continue to be faithful to the Lord. On the other side of the coin today, if you are sitting in this room, there's a verse coming that I want you to listen to. But if you are sitting in this room saying, God, I've put you off. I feel the Holy Spirit working and calling me, and I've just put that off. Do not leave this room identifying with the scoffers today. Moving on. Look at verses 8 through 10. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This concludes our reading today. What a way to end. The earth is going to be destroyed one day. There's great truth in these verses. And here is the reminder. Continue to trust Jesus, knowing the Lord has a plan. Knowing that God has a plan for your life. Peter is urging those that are beloved not to be ignorant, not to overlook the timetable of God. Now, we are the ones that identify time. I want you to know that. God has no definition of time. So how do we label time? There are many of us that label time in the increments of seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and years. Some of you look at your watch and say, this guy's been preaching for too long. I'm going to tell you, God doesn't have a timetable, okay? It's all right. I'm almost done. But here's what I want you to know. We measure our life. Today I'm going to celebrate my grandmother's 89th birthday. Man, I'm grateful for that. What a blessing. But here's the reality. 89 years on God's timeline looks about like that. Because God has always been and God will always be. And yet, here's what we do as believers, as human beings. We say, God, I've got 50 good years or 60 good years or 70 good years. I want to live them for me. And that's not what you were created to do. You were created to have a relationship with God Almighty. You are created in His image and in His love with the desire to have relationship. And so here's what God's not worried about 60 or 70 or 80 years. God's worried about eternity. And from eternity past, He put a plan into motion to save the world from their sin. It started way back at the beginning, before creation. And He devised a plan that He would give of His only Son. He was sending to a cross for payment of the world's sin, of your sin and of my sin. And if you will repent of that sin, I'm going to get to that word in a minute, and if you by faith will come to Him, you can talk, and you can talk in terms of eternity. Here's what the warning is today. Don't measure God in one day of a week. Give God your life and every portion of it. We question our God because He hasn't answered our prayer today or on our timetable. We question God because there are seasons of hard times in our life and we throw doubt in God's way. God, are you real? And here's what I want you to know. Psalm 90 teaches us that 1,000 years is but a day. When you're thinking on God's timetable, you don't even live a tenth of a day in God's eyes. And that's what we're concerned about. God wants you for eternity. So the trials may come, and the tribulation may come, and death may come. But here's what you need. There is hope in Jesus Christ today. Today, this moment, there's hope in Christ. Think about Noah building the ark. And depending on who, which commentator you listen to or look up or what you believe, somewhere in the middle, in the range of 75 to 100 years of his life building a boat, that whoever would come aboard would be saved. And my thinking, my belief, my little mind, as he swung that hammer and he was obedient to build the boat, I believe that he invited people to come on that boat. No one took it. God's grace let that time period last, 75 to 100 years, waiting for somebody to come. Sodom and Gomorrah would have been saved if there were only 10 that were faithful. God's grace, that number went down 50 to 40 to 30, down to 10. God's grace was evident there. And here's what I want you to know today. God's grace is still available this second. Look at verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Stop right there. What is that promise? The promise of coming back and the promise of taking care of His own. He said, don't get weary. Do not get weary, because God is not slack. He's not late. He's not sleeping. He's not slumbering. God is on time. And so God is not slack in His promise. God's timetable is in order. And then in verse number 9, it says this, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's that word. And so I get the opportunity, not that it's mine to give, but it is God's invitation yet again. Come. The early church had to hear this truth. You've been through a lot. You've suffered for me. You will continue to suffer. Yet I'm faithful. And Peter is writing to remind them that God is faithful. Today, I don't want you to wish your time through, because these next few minutes are the most important of the day. And here's that invitation. As God shows us through His Word, He has given grace and grace and grace, and the door of grace is still swung open wide for anybody to come to Him, for you to come and to receive Him. But the first step is this: you've got to repent. Verse number 9, it says this, that all should come to repentance. It doesn't say that all should come and get on the boat. It doesn't say all should walk an aisle. It doesn't say come pray with a prayer. It said that all should come to repentance. And what do we find repentance? Repentance is the conviction of sin that results in the turn from it. The only way I know to explain this is through my own life. As a 15-year-old boy, I knew God was working on me. I said, no, not today, not now. Lord, I'm not ready, no. And thankfully, God would not leave me alone. I really believe that the Holy Spirit draws, because I remember when I was 15 and I stood in that second pew of my home church, and I was weeping knowing I need to take that step. And then I did. Here's what I want you to know. It was not my step that saved me. It was not my crying that saved me. It was that conviction from the Holy Spirit. Jeffrey, you are a sinner in need of Jesus as your Savior. By faith, I came to Him. That night, September, when I was 15 years old, I don't know the date. Please forgive me. I do not know the exact date. But I came that night and said, Lord, I know You've been working on me. I've been convicted of that, and I repent of my sin. And I believe and trust Jesus as that payment for my sin. And I ask You to be my Savior from this day forward. I believe that night Jesus saved me. Now, it took a little while for Jesus to clean up the outside, but on the inside, He was working. And so here's what I want to offer, that same invitation through verse number 9. He's not willing that any should perish. But this morning, the invitation that all should come to repentance. Today, if you need Jesus, do not walk out of this room as a scoffer. Do not wait till you're better or you're cleaned up. You come today, and God, by faith, will save you. Now, that last verse, verse number 10. There's one word I want to focus on, and that is this. But the day of the Lord will come. Do you see that? And it's going to come as a thief in the night. All I need you to do is circle or underline that word will. That day, according to God's word, is coming. It will come. It's not for us to decide. It's on God's timetable. So today, I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to ask you one question as we close today, and that is this. Are you living for today in your terms, or are you living for eternity? And Peter was trying to echo through his writing and his words to the first century church, continue to keep the faith, because eternity is in mind. Church, we need to be eternal minded, knowing that God's word is true. God's word will not return void. God's word will not change. Knowing that since the very beginning, there have been people that scoffed or doubted. And today, that has not changed, and that will not change. But also today, that the door of grace is opened. And if you are here today, it is the Lord's invitation to come. Come to Him. Repent. Put your and place your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and He will change your life. For all eternity. Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, today, thank You, Lord, for Your holy word. God, I just pray, Lord, today that as we come before you in this moment of invitation, that every heart in this room would be bowed before you, would be submitted to you. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will begin and be moving. Lord, thank you, Lord, that it is by his work that we're even here. Lord, as we open this moment of invitation, we thank you for Jesus. And Jesus' words is, he is lifted up, that will draw all men into himself. And so today, God, I pray as you are lifted up in this place, that you do the work. Thank you for this moment of invitation that we trust you now. Thank you for believers that need to be reminded to continue to keep on keeping on in the faith that they have in Christ Jesus. Lord, today, if there's somebody that is weakened in their faith, God, I pray that they would just hit their knees before you. Thank you for this moment of invitation, and thank you for this time now. We give it to you to have your will and your way now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.